for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Wednesday evening service of July the 2nd, 1997, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker for the evening.
In our flesh, we are no match for anyone. We trust you, Lord, to help us, not only tonight, but in the days ahead. Lord, we put on your armor that we might, Lord, fight a good warfare. You said, fight the good fight of faith. And so, Lord, we thank you for strength to fight the good fight of faith. And, Lord, I thank you for your word tonight that we're going into. We ask you to quicken it to each one of us, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. How many's got your Bible tonight?
Amen.
Praise God. You need it. You shouldn't come without your Bible. Praise God. Amen. We need the Word of God. Hello, Brother Speed. Praise the Lord. Made it back. Praise God. Do you want to give a testimony or about it or something? Come on up. Praise God. Here.
Just hold it. No, it's, I guess it started, about 4 years ago. Every time I come, I'm on with this dear, dear Jewish lady, Diane Silverman. And she is on about 600 radio stations. And it's a call-in talk show. Mm-hmm. Started at 5 o'clock, and we're on till 7 o'clock.
Praise God.
And we got a lot of action tonight, and on and on. And she's a dear lady. She's about ready to accept the Messiah.
Hallelujah.
But she knows God, and she knows that she has a real calling to save this nation. And so she's hanging in there. So she's one of God's folks.
Praise
not
God.
By the bloodline, but by mm-hmm. Yahweh or whatever name you ought to give him.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for
how long was the interview?
Two hours.
2 hours. Praise God. Now, will that be on the air this week? Or?
No, it was on live. No, it was on live right
now. Okay. Praise God. Well, it's a blessing how the Lord uses Brother Speed when he comes, not only here, but other places. I mean, you know, people need to hear the truth. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. How many want to grow up in the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. How many believe you've grown some in this meeting?
Amen.
How many thank God for the ministries God sent here? Let's give them a good hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got a lot of brethren here in this meeting. It's wonderful to see the fivefold ministry. I believe that, as Glenn said the other day, we have the fivefold ministry here. I mean, that's what's going to grow us up in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? We also have a brain surgeon here. And, man, it does heart plants. Isn't that right, brother? It gets them saved and delivered. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's go to this. Turn to Revelation, the first chapter of Revelation, and we'll be there in a minute. I mean, we got to go from the milk to the meat, from carnality to spirituality. From the natural to the supernatural. From death, come on,
to life.
From the seen to the unseen. From the temporal to the eternal. From the visible to the invisible. Jack said something about that this morning. From immaturity to maturity. From unrest to rest. And from babes to sons. How many know that's a mouthful? How many know we're God's habitation tonight? We're God's temple. Do you believe that? We're God's house. We're God's sanctuary. Hallelujah. We're God's building. How many know He's building some mansions in us? Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. We're His dwelling place, brethren. We are the city of the living God. God's doing a work in all of us as we submit to God. Amen? Praise God. Thank God for that. I really enjoyed the word this morning, and I enjoyed all of it. Not any special word, but all the words. They've all been good. Praise God. Now, I said the other night, I want to repeat a couple of things here that I said that some of you wasn't here. I said that Samson's hair is beginning to grow again. I'm talking about spiritually now. How many know that Samson, they shaved his hair off, and yet his hair began to grow again?
Yes.
You know, there were more people killed in Samson's death than any other part of his life. And I was studying this week, there's seven things that Samson overcome that we have to overcome. And it was it's a tremendous study. And then David is winning the war against Saul, I said the other night, against the flesh. And all that was in debt, discontented, and in distress came out to where David was. You know anybody in debt? Or discontented? Come on. Or in distress? I mean, no, the Lord is raising up a people. Now, David there was a picture. He was a captain. He was 30 years of age. He was a captain. And how many know our captain is Jesus? Amen. So if you're in debt, discontented, or in distress, you can go to Jesus, your captain. Amen? And then Jonah, I said, was coming out of the whale's belly, speaking the word of the Lord, and are speaking judgment to the wicked cities. Praise God. And we have two choices if we rebel, hog pen or submarine. Amen? The prodigal went to the hog pen, and Jonah went to the submarine, or the whale's belly. Praise the Lord. And then I said the other night, and I want to say this again, Jonah, his name means dove. And Jonah was in the boat out of the will of God. And then there was Paul, means little one. He was in the boat, but he was also in the will of God. And then there was Jesus, our Savior. And Jesus was in the boat, but he was, come on, the will of God. Now, Jonah was overwhelmed by the storm. Hallelujah. Paul was chained, in charge of the storm, and Jesus controlled the storm. How many's been in a storm lately? Well, how many know he can control every storm? I've been in one the last couple of days, but hallelujah, he brought me through the storm. Amen. I thank God for all your prayers that you prayed for me. Amen. Now, in the book of Revelation, the word lamb is used 27 times. One is in a negative sense because it's speaking of the false prophet. And then the word lambs is used twice there in the book of Revelation. The dragon is used 13 times in the book of Revelation. How many know he started all this rebellion? 13 is the number of rebellion. The key verse is verse 19. Look in chapter 1, verse 19. The key verse of the book of Revelation is this verse, I believe. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be, come on, hereafter. Praise God. Three things. He said three things here now. The things you've seen, the things that are, and the things that shall be hereafter. Now, he had seen Christ, the head, and Christ, the body, here in chapter 1. Amen? If you know the Bible, he saw Christ the head and Christ the body in chapter 1. Then he saw the seven churches that was in his day, John did. And then he saw, from Revelation 4 to 22, he saw future events. Praise the Lord. And Jesus, how many know Jesus said to the churches several things? He said, number one, they're good points. He told them all the good things. How many know it's good to hear some good things? And then he told them their bad points. And how many know he'll tell us our bad points too? Come on. Amen. And then thirdly, he said to five churches, five out of the seven, two of them he didn't say anything about this, but five of the churches, he said, you must repent. So God will show us our good things, he'll show us our bad things, and then he'll say, repent. Praise God. It won't hurt us to repent, will it, brother? No. I mean, no, it's a lifestyle. Repentance is a lifestyle in your life and my life. It should be. The longest letter in the book of Revelation is Thyatira. I mean, that's where Jezebel resided. Thyatira. Longest letter of all seven. In that church, praise God. And he's addressing the angel ministry. Look in chapter 2. I'm just going to throw some things out before we get in some scriptures here. Look in chapter 2. You know, in each church, notice verse 1, to the angel of the church of Ephesus. How many know this is not an angel that flaps his wings? This is a ministry here in the church. You say, how do I know? Look down to verse 4. He said, you've left your first love. And then in verse 5, he says they had fallen. Then he says, repent. How many of an angel has truly fallen, he'll never repent? Amen? So we're talking about ministries over the churches here. And how many of us a great responsibility to be over churches? Isn't that right? Praise God. A great responsibility. Now, now the seven churches. The first church, Ephesus, means desirable. The second church, Smyrna, means myrrh. Third church, Pergamos, means height or tall. Fourth church, Thyatira, means burning of incense. Sardis speaks of a remnant, has other meanings besides. Philadelphia means brotherly love, and Laodicea means the people rule. Now, I see seven things the churches had to overcome, and I've just got in a small capsule here. The first church left its first love, and how many know that's the most important thing? Come on, now don't shout me down, it's true. Number two, the second church had to overcome the fear of death. Three, the third church had to overcome false doctrine. Now, these are things the church is facing today, isn't it? Everything the churches in Revelation face, we're facing today. The fourth church had to overcome the seduction of Jezebel. The fifth church had to overcome deception and defilement. And then the sixth church had to overcome false Jews or false brethren who were the synagogue of Satan. And the last church had to overcome lukewarmness. And how many know that'll get you in trouble pretty quick? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, look in chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of who?
Jesus Christ.
The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I look up here in the top of my margin, it says the revelation of St. John the Divine. That's not true. I mean, no, it was the revelation of Jesus. And number two, John was not divine. Come on now, amen? Jesus is divine. John was not divine. He had the divine one in him, praise the Lord. But it's the revelation of Jesus. Now, this revelation came from God the Father to Jesus Christ, and from Jesus to the angel, from the angel to John, and from John to the churches, and to his servants, praise God. Hallelujah. And so it's the revelation of Jesus. Now, this word revelation, how many know it's a big word? How many has ever studied this word revelation? It means that which is revealed. It means a coming. Speaks of the coming of the Lord over in 1 Corinthians 1:7. It's the word manifestation. I mean, all creation is waiting and groaning for the manifestation, come on, or the revelation of the sons of God. It means a disclosure. It means appearing. Peter talks about that appearing in 1 Peter 1:7 and 8. It means to take the cover off, and it means an unveiling. And so there is a revelation being revealed within hearts. Hallelujah. And we know that Jesus wants to give us the revelation of himself. Anybody want the revelation of Jesus? How many know there's a price to pay? Now, he'll give it. Amen? He'll do it. But how many know there's a price? Now, turn to 2 Corinthians 12. I taught on this in our group just recently, but I won't go into it like I did there. 2 Corinthians 12, in verse 1, Paul said, "It's not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord himself." Hallelujah. All right? And then we know he was caught up in the paradise, and he heard all these wonderful things. But then he was also given a thorn in the flesh. How many want the revelation of Jesus? How many want visions and revelation? Come on, amen? Well, how many know God's got a balancing factor for those revelation and visions called, come on, a thorn, amen? Or some kind of problem that may come your way. It'll keep you down. It'll keep you humble. That's what kept Paul down. It would have destroyed him otherwise. I mean, God knows what it takes for all of us. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. He does. He knows what it takes. Now, we could go a lot into that scripture. I could show you a lot of things that I'm not going to spend much time. But in Revelation 1:1, let's go there now. Revelation 1:1, it says now, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, here it is now, to show unto his servant. I mean, he's a servant tonight. Hallelujah. Of the Most High God. The show unto his servants, and notice the next word, things. Things which must shortly come to pass. There's some things that's got to come to pass. Now, there's some things that have passed, come on. There's some things that are being fulfilled even now, and there's some things yet to be fulfilled. Isn't that right? I believe we're at the time of the opening of the sixth seal. I believe that's where we're at right now in time, the time zone. And when the sixth seal is open, I'm going to tell you, this old earth's going to know it. You're talking about a shaking. God's going to bring pride down when this sixth seal is open. I've preached on that, but I won't go into that tonight. Now, notice again, he said to show his servants things that must shortly come to pass. Then in Revelation 21:8, it says this, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them." Now, notice, he saw and he heard. How many thank God for seeing and hearing tonight? Praise God. That's not of the natural, but the Spirit. Revelation 22:16. Jesus said these words, I, Jesus. Here, Jesus put his special endorsement on this book. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things." Where? In the churches. In the churches. Praise God. How many know he's speaking to the church tonight? Hallelujah. In Revelation 1:1, now notice, things which must shortly come to pass. Look in verse 2. It says in verse 2 also here, "Who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." There's that word, things. Then look in verse 3. And look in verse 3. "Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those" what? "Those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many want to keep, not only listen to the Word, not only read the Word, but keep the Word. Practice the Word. Become a doer of the Word. Anybody want to do that? Revelation 22:7 says, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Praise God. Now, look back in verse 1 again, which he said, These things must surely come to pass. And then in verse 3 he said, For the time is at hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. The time is at hand. How many believe the time's at hand? Even in our day. I believe. Praise God. Now, John was not only an apostle, but he was a 20th century prophet. He was a man ahead of his time. He was ushered into the day of the Lord, which is not 24 hours. He was a prophet as well. Projected, a prophet projected into the day of the Lord and prophesied the future events. Hallelujah. I thank God. You know, God gave me love for this book even when I was a child. And I still love to study this great book of Revelation. But how many know you can't just study Revelation by itself? You've got to study the whole Bible. Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. Now, how many know there's seven blessings in this book? Look in chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to show you these blessings here in the book of Revelation. Anyone want to be blessed tonight? You want to be blessed? Then get in this book. Revelation 1, 3. What does it say? Now notice, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written therein for the times at hand. All right, 14. Look in chapter 14 of Revelation. You got a lot of fingers. Get them going. Revelation 14, verse 12 and 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, that's those that love him, and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. If you're going to die, how many know you must die in the Lord, brethren?
Amen.
Amen. Now, it's going to be so hot and heavy at this time, some will be blessed to die in the Lord. Did you hear what I said? Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, their works do follow them. There's going to be martyrs. There's going to be people dying. Amen. Now, look in chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 15. You know, they tell us, at least I was taught, that Jesus came in chapter 4 of Revelation. Well, here over in chapter 16, he hadn't even come yet. Chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he, notice, blessed is he, there's that third blessing, is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So there's a blessing, brethren, to watch and to keep, make sure you keep your holy garments on. Amen? Look in chapter 19 of Revelation. 19:9, it says this, And he said to me, Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, the marriage supper is not a big table 1,500 miles and everybody's, shouting, pass the green beans or mashed potatoes. Amen? You know the wedding feast is going on right now? You know there's a relationship between Jesus and us right now? He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, come on, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. That word sup means supper. Anybody want supper with Jesus? It means to dine out. Hallelujah. To have an evening meal. Jesus is feeding us as we seek him and cry out to him and worship him. Amen? Look in chapter 20, verse 6. Here's the next blessing. Chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they, those in this first resurrection, shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him, come on, 1,000 years. I believe the overcomers will rule and reign with Jesus. And I want to be an overcomer, don't you, brother? Chapter 22, verse 7. I don't believe everybody's going to rule and reign with Jesus. They don't overcome. 22:7. It says this, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That's what he said in chapter 1. And then the last one, 22:14. 22:14. Praise God. 22:14. And I could preach from this verse. There's so many things here. Blessed are they that do his commandments. That's his word. That they may have the right or the authority or the privilege to what, brethren? To the tree of life. How many know that's Jesus? And that they may enter in through the gates into the city. How many know we're the city tonight? Do you know that you're the city? Praise God. I'm not looking for some city coming out of the sky with bright lights. We are the city of the living God. Hallelujah. And there's 12 entrance of light into that city. Praise God. And he said right here that in this verse to us, he said, we'll be blessed if we keep his commandments and we'll have that authority or that privilege, praise God, to that tree of life. And as a result, we'll be able to enter into the gates, through the gates, into the city. 12 is government. And so those that enter through all 12 gates will enter God's government first. Praise the Lord. I believe they're the overcomers. Now, who's going to partake of this tree of life? Go back to chapter 2, verse 7, and you see right here who he's talking about. If you don't see the overcomer in the book of Revelation, you'll miss it. I mean, no, that's who you got to see in this book, the overcomer. Revelation 2, 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, to him that overcometh. Will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Hallelujah. So, brethren, those that do his commandments are the overcomers. They have the right to that tree of life, that's Jesus, and they'll enter into that city, praise God, through all 12 gates, which means they'll mature first. Praise the Lord. Somebody's got to mature. Amen? In the Lord. Thank God. Now, let's go back to Revelation 1. Let's identify this angel. Hallelujah. How many want to see who this angel is? Not that we were worshiping angels, but how many know that we'll learn something? Revelation 1:1. Notice, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his what? His angel unto his servant John. Praise God. Well, would you receive from the Lord if he sent a godly angel your way to give you a message? Sure you would. Huh? Amen. You'd want to make sure it's a good one, though, wouldn't you? Praise God. Now, let me tell you something about this angel. It's mentioned in chapter 22 of Revelation. This angel was a fellow servant. This angel was of the brethren, the prophets. This angel, the Bible said he kept the sayings of this book. So he not only knew this book, but he kept it, just like we were told to do. And then he told John to worship God. Don't worship me, John. Worship God. No true angel will ever accept worship. Amen? And no true minister will ever accept worship. Come on. Come on, amen? And brethren, I tell you, there's a lot of ministries that are in idolatry because people almost bow down and worship him. When a minister sees it, he needs to cry out against that stuff. Come on, amen? We're not worshiping men. We're worshiping the true and the living God. And we thank God for the men of God and women of God he's using. But God, it must be worshiped. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, this angel, because of what he said in Revelation 22, had been a redeemed person, no doubt had died, and was in the spirit realm. And he was a prophet who also had kept the sayings of the book. He was in the spirit there with John. But he looked so much like Jesus that John thought he was Jesus. And he fell to worship before him. Remember that? And he said, get up, John. Don't worship me. Worship, worship God. Praise God. Okay, now, can we identify this angel a little more clearly? Go to Revelation 15. Revelation 15. Hallelujah. How many believe God's doing a work not only in our spirits, but also in our souls as we submit to him? Not only growing up, getting the Lord's word in our souls, our mind, will, emotions, and desires, deliverance in other ways. He's sealing us and doing a work in us. But here in chapter 15, look in verse 7. And 8, we're going to start right there, and I'm going to have to go a little slower here. Praise God. Revelation 15, 7 and 8, it says this. And one of the four beasts, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full, everybody say full. Full of the wrath of God. Now, if it's full, how many know there's no more that can enter into it? I mean, it's just full, isn't that right? And so one of the four, gave to the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke and the glory of God from his power. No man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. All right, now who gave the angels that power to judge? Who gave the angel? Who was it in verse 7? One of the four beasts. All right, turn back to Revelation 4. Revelation 4. Hallelujah. And look at verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. The third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast like a flying eagle. Praise God. Now, how many know that Ezekiel also mentions these four? Chapter 1 and chapter 10. Now, in chapter 1 of Ezekiel, he mentions these, only he used the word ox instead of the word calf. Then in chapter 10, the ox is changed to a cherub. And here in Revelation, it's a calf. And how many of those, there's a meaning for all that? Now, how many believe that Jesus is the lion out of the tribe of Judah tonight? Hallelujah. And brethren, if I just draw a circle, if you're taking notes, draw a big old round circle right there on your notepad. Okay? A big circle. In the middle of it, put soul, S-O-U-L, because it means other things, but just put soul, okay? And then draw four little circles at the top, the bottom, and both sides, okay? Now, and so the first one is a picture of a lion, right? That represents your emotions. How many believe that Jesus was totally in control of his emotions? Huh? I mean, know that sometimes we have a problem with anger, with fear, and other things that come into those emotions. Isn't that right? Now, and then the next part, the ox. Jesus was the perfect one here. I'm talking about the Old Testament, and we'll keep bringing up the New Testament here. I mean, know that the ox is strong. He has, you look at him, he has patience. A lot of things you could talk about the ox. And Jesus was the strong one. I mean, know he had all patience. Amen? And then the cherub, it was changed from the ox to the cherub. I mean, know that speaks of intercession. There was no cherubs in the outer court or in the holy place except on the veil and over the mercy seat. How many know that's where God met with his brethren, with the men? Isn't that right? How many know that Jesus was the true intercessor? Amen. And he's still the intercessor, isn't he? Praise God. How many know an intercessor takes the place of another? I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost in us is the intercessor. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then it was changed to a calf. Calf speaks of humility. And how many know that Jesus was full of grace and what? Truth. And how many know he gives grace unto the humble? He was filled with humility, wasn't he? And so he represents the ox. He represents the cherub. He represents also the calf. Praise the Lord. And then there was man. The third face was man. And how many know that speaks of our desires? And yet Jesus had perfect desires. He totally pleased the Father in all of his desires. Do you believe that? And then the next face. I'm just going through this fast. There's so much as I could go into. And then there is the eagle. How many know in Exodus 19 he's called the great eagle? Amen? And so that speaks of the mind. And he had the Father's mind. He spoke. Everything he spoke was the Father's mind. Praise God. And so we could go into all this. Now, let me tell you what these four beasts represent. They represent, first of all, the four natures of God. Okay? They represent also Christ. They represent the soul. And they represent the redeemed. Look in chapter 5, and I'll show you they represent the redeemed. You may have never seen this, but it's right in your Bible. How many of the Word of God's true? We need to throw a lot of our old traditions out the window, don't we? Come on now. Uh-huh. Now, look in chapter 5. Look in verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And notice what they're doing. Now, the four beasts and the 24 elders, they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed" who? What's the next word? Us. "Unto God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." Now, verse 10, here's also what they represent. "And has made us unto our God kings and priests," literally a kingdom of priests, "and we shall reign on the earth."
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so, brethren, they represent the four natures of God, the soul of man, the Christ, the redeemed, and kings and priests. Hallelujah. And so one of these four beasts gave those angels that power over there to judge. Now, building a temple of our soul. How many know it's important that we get oil into our, not only our spirit, but also into our soul? Christ must overshadow our mind, come on, our will, emotions, and desires for midnight. Isn't that right? Just think of the wise virgins, okay? How many of the foolish did not have enough supply to take them to midnight, through midnight? Isn't that right? But those that sought God and those that paid the price had the oil. And so we've got to have the oil for midnight. Do you believe that? Now, if we're going to judge angels and judge the world, we're not going to do it unless we grow up and mature. Isn't that right? Come on now, amen? All right, now let's go a little further here. Now, look in chapter 16 of Revelation. We're just starting into this a little bit. Now, how many know there's seven angels, seven plagues, seven judgments, seven vials, seven bowls? Revelation 16:1. Now, what does it say, brethren? It says this, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways, pour out the vials of the wrath of God," where? "Upon the earth." Now, you remember, they received those bold judgments, right? From that one beast. Amen? Okay? Now, look in chapter 17. And how many know seven is perfect? And how many believe God has perfect judgments? Amen? Now, before you go there, turn to Psalms. Let's go there. Then we'll come back to chapter 17. Go to Psalms 119. Hallelujah. Psalms 119, 62. Now, here's God's righteous judgment. Psalms 119, 62. "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment." Now notice what he said. At midnight somebody's going to thank God that God's righteous judgments are in the earth. Hallelujah. "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Amen. "Go you out to meet him." Amen. Midnight's coming, brethren. It is coming. And we've got to be ready to face it. Amen. And God's judgments will be out there in the earth as well. Now, all right, back to Revelation 17, verse 1. Revelation 17, verse 1. Hallelujah. Let's see what it says here now. "And there came one of the seven angels." How many? One. Now, notice there were seven angels given the judgment power and wrath, right? But here he said, "One of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me." Now, did you notice that? "There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither." Now, what was John told in chapter 4? "Come up hither." He was told that in chapter 4. And then there were those in chapter 11 told that. Now he's told, "Come hither." What does that mean? That means come closer. Come on. It's one thing to get in the Spirit, but God still wants us to come up a little closer. Isn't that right? Every day. Isn't that right? All right, "Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth," come on, "up on many waters." Verse 2, "with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, the inhabitants of the earth have been drunk with the wine of fornication." Verse 3, "so he," who's he? The angel. "So he," the angel, "carried me away." Anybody want to get carried away? In the Lord. "He carried me away in the Spirit." The angel took him in the Spirit into the wilderness. How many's been there lately? Well, God didn't take you there for naught. How many know he's going to show you something? Hallelujah. You know, in Song of Solomon, somebody's coming out of that wilderness. Amen. Anybody want to be coming out? "So he carried me away in the Spirit to the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." I want you to notice that. All right? How many see that? All right, now, praise God. Now, let's go down to verse 7. "And the angel said to me," now notice, the same angel. What is the angel? One of the seven, right? Verse 7. "And the angel said to me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, the beast that carries her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns." All right, now, come on down to verse 15. Come down to verse 15. "And he saith unto me," this angel, "he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues." How many know that whore is over the multitudes tonight? And God said, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her plagues." Amen? And so, we see here this angel is talking again in verse 15. All right, now, let's go to chapter 18. We see the scene changes a little bit here. Look in chapter 18. He sees another angel. Look in chapter 18, verse 1. He said, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Then look in chapter 18, verse 21. Look in verse 21. And then he says, another angel. He says, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. How many know God's going to judge Babylon and is judging Babylon? The money system, come on, the political and the religious system. Can you say amen? Now go to chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 9. Now notice what it says here. After he talks about the marriage of the Lamb has come and so forth, verse 9, he says, right, blessed are they that are called. Called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now he said you'll be blessed if you're called to that. Right? Now notice, he said to me, who's he? This is the angel. I'm going to show it to you. He said to me, right, blessed are they that are called to the marriage and supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for here it is, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Can I tell you, God's overcomers are going to restore the testimony of Jesus Christ in the earth? How many believe that?
Amen.
Amen. And so we're talking about this same angel. Now go to chapter 21 now. Now in chapter 21, we're going to see the same angel we saw in 17:1 and through 17 and also 19. Chapter 21. I mean, you can't leave your mind on the parking lot with this message. 21:9. There came unto me one of the seven angels. There came unto me one of the seven angels. What do we see in chapter 17, verse 1? Same thing. I believe it's the same angel. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, same wording. Notice that. Come closer. I will show thee, though, this time not the harlot, hallelujah, but the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, here's what I want to tell you. In the time of the seven bowl judgments being poured out, I mean, John saw this woman judge, this harlot. And at the same time he saw these judgments, he saw God raising up the Lamb's wife. Hallelujah. The bride of Christ. Can you understand that? Praise God. All right, now notice this phrase now. It says in verse 9 again, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven last vials, notice, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And verse 10, and he, that angel, carried me away, not this time in the wilderness, come on, but in the spirit to what? A great and high mountain. Now you want to see the harlot? You go to the wilderness. You want to see the bride? You go high. Amen, in the spirit. Are you hearing that? And he showed me that, notice, he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, seven words I picked up in the book of Revelation. It's called the holy city. You can write these down if you want to. It's called the holy city. How many believe God wants a holy city? A holy people. Amen? Number two, it's New Jerusalem. Everything is new in New Jerusalem. The old is going to be done away with. How many know he's stripping and destroying that old order? Amen? Three, it's called the bride. The city is the bride. Four, it's the Lamb's wife. Jesus is not married to a physical city, he's married to a people, isn't he? It's called the great city. Now, so is Babylon, but this is also called the great city. Amen? And then it's holy Jerusalem. And then in Revelation 3:12, it's called the city of my God. The city of my God. We are part of that city tonight. Hallelujah. Can we believe it? Amen? Praise God. Now, look in Revelation 21, verse 15. And we're talking about the same angel. The same angel. Hallelujah. Remember the seven angels had the seven vials of wrath to be poured out. And here's one of them talking to John. So in verse 15. And he that talked with me. Well, who was talking to him? One of those seven angels. Huh? One of those seven angels. Had a golden reed to measure the city. And the gates are off, and what else? The wall. I want to read that again. He that talked with me had a golden ring. What's the gold a picture of? Come on. The nature of God. Gold is God's nature. He that talked with me had a golden ring to measure the city. Do you know this city also is pure gold? I may believe God's put His divine nature in all of us. All right. To measure the city and the gates and the wall thereof. Now look back in Revelation 11 just a second. I'm not going to spend much time because I've preached this a lot here. But there's a lot in here. I mean, we're learning all the time, aren't we? Praise God. You know, you can go over scriptures every day and still learn something, can't you? If you're open to the Holy Ghost. Chapter 11, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise, measure the temple of God and the altar. That's those that worship. And them that worship therein. All right? Then verse 2, but the court, the outer court, which is without the temple, leave it out, measure it not. So in verse 1, somebody's measured. Verse 2, somebody's not measured. And here's what the Lord said to me. He said in verse 1, obedience. Verse 2, rebellion. In verse 2, He said, the court that's without the temple, leave it out, measure it not. It's given to the Gentiles, the holy city. Shall they tread underfoot? How long? 40? And 2 months, or 3.5 years. Amen? Now, go to Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Let's see the measurement. Is God measuring us tonight, brother? Huh? Are we being measured tonight? Not with a stick, but with God's nature. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 11. And He gave some apostles. I mean, that's the apostle right there. Some prophets. What else? Evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto what? A perfect, mature man. Unto the measure. Now here it is. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. So, He wants to bring us to the fullness, doesn't He? Amen? So in chapter 11, somebody's left out, but later over we see the measurement takes place in chapter 1. And we could talk about that fullness. How many know that? Well, let me show it to you. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, then we'll come back to Revelation. Go to Ephesians. Let me show you the three dimensions. How many is outer court, holy place, holy of holies? 30, 60, 100. I mean, the Lord's given me about 75 of those threes throughout the scriptures. But here in chapter 2, first of all, of Ephesians. Look at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How many know that's Passover? That's our Passover. Come on, amen? All right, now look in chapter 1, verse 13. Here's Pentecost. In whom you also trusted that after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom you also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of, come on, promise, praise God, which is the earnest of our inheritance. And then verse 18, He says that inheritance is in the saints. That's you and me. That's Pentecost. Then look in chapter 1, look at verse 23. We're coming to tabernacles. How many believe it? Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Then look in chapter 3, verse 19 of Ephesians. Chapter 3, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then in chapter 4, the fivefold ministries bring us also to that fullness. So that's tabernacle. Praise God. How many believe the Word of God is going to be fulfilled? Amen. All right, now let's go back to Revelation 21. What verse did we stop at? I'll find that here. Verse 15. All right, now verse 17. Verse 17, notice again, let's go back to verse 15. He that talked with me, that angel, had a golden reed to measure the city, the gates, and the walls. Then verse 17, and he, the angel, measured the wall thereof 144 and 4 cubits. How many has ever heard about the 144,000? They're not Jehovah's Witnesses. They are God's sons. It's not a literal number, it's symbolical. But notice, 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of what? A man. How many believe there's a man He's raising up? That is of the angel, which is a spiritual dimension there. Praise God. He measured the wall thereof. And 144,000. Now, tell you what I believe. I'm not dogmatic about it, but I believe the city represents the bride of Christ. And I believe the wall that protects the city is the sons of God that keeps and protects her. I mean, in Genesis, listen, there was a serpent, wasn't there? Huh? There was a man. There was a woman. There was a river. Amen? But there's something different from Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis, there was no wall. Amen? To keep the serpent out. In Revelation, there's a wall. And how many know it's a high wall? And God is raising up his overcomers, amen, to look after this bride. How many believe that? But how many know God knows who they are? Amen? Praise God. But, how many know, I tell you what, how many know this is some real overcoming, if we're going to be an overcomer? Huh? We can't play church, can we? No, no way. All right, now, here in chapter 21, verse 7, did I read verse 17? Okay. All right, now go to chapter 22. We're talking about this same angel now, 22:1. And it says here, and he showed me, the same angel, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. All right, verse 6. And he said to me, here's the same angel, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Then verse 8, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel that showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Hallelujah. Now, this angel, this one of the seven angels was the one that was showing John these things. All the way through, from chapter 17 on, he's showing him this great revelation. Now, 22:10. And he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. Then 22:16, Jesus said these words, 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. He was the angel of the Lord, wasn't he? To testify unto you these things, John, in the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Hallelujah. You know there's just two comings right there? The root and offspring of David, and also he's a bright and morning star. How many believe he's coming in fullness of life when he comes? He comes within us as well as without. Praise the Lord. He's coming again. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Hallelujah. Why was John on the Isle of Patmos? Was he having a good time? I mean, did the devil put him there? He was exiled, wasn't he? But why was he there? For the Word of God. And the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why he was... I'm sorry? The devil was mad. But the devil didn't put him there, did he? God put him there. You say, how many know God put you in your circumstances? Huh? The Holy Ghost, how many know he took Jesus into the wilderness, didn't he? And yet, John is there, not because of Satan, but before the Word of God, for the testimony that he held, praise God, and all things that he saw. All right, now look in chapter 6 of Revelation. We see also some people here being persecuted for the same things. Look in Revelation 6:9. Now, this is under the fifth seal. This is under the fifth. How many know there's a lot of people being martyred around the world even today? If we could see the way the Lord sees. You see, brothers, some of this stuff is being fulfilled. Chapter 6, verse 9. And when it opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. And for what else? The testimony which they held. They stayed true to God, to the Word of God and to the testimony. Amen? Then look in Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 17. I love to teach this chapter. Revelation 12, verse 17. Now, the devil tries to get the bride. He can't because God takes her into the wilderness. And then he catches a man-child up to the throne for a period of time. But look at verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. Would you say he's upset with her? Would you say he's upset with us tonight? Come on. Would you say he's upset because of this camp meeting? Mm-hmm. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And notice what the remnant do, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen? John had it. Those in Revelation 6 had it. And yet, you say, who are these in verse 17? They are the man-child, the overcomers. Now look at this verse. Look at this verse now. The dragon was wroth with the church, the bride, went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And that word seed, I believe, is the word seed that means the best seed left over planting like for next year, or the good seed, which keep those commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right, now I can show you that real quick. Look back to Revelation 22. I'll show you part of this. There's a lot more here, but I'll just show you part of it. Let's go back to 22:14, where we were a while ago. Now, you notice he said they have to keep the commandments of God and they have the testimony of Jesus. All right, in 22:14, he said, blessed are those that do what? Now, if you're doing his commandments, are you keeping them? Sure you are. And then what did he say? They have the right or the privilege, right, or the authority to the tree of life. And we said that was the overcomers. And they can enter into the gates into the city, those 12 entrants, okay, or kingdom, the kingdom, government living, we'd say. And so I believe that these, and I can show you other scriptures, but I believe that those in 12:17 are the overcomers, the man-child. Now, if you'll notice something, it says here in 12:17, the dragon was not only wroth with the woman, but he went to make war with that remnant, okay? Now flip over to 11:7. Hallelujah. I didn't learn this in Bible college. I went to Bible college. I did, and I learned a lot of things. But when it came to end time, God had to reteach me. I threw all my books and notes away and things that, you know, I just... How many know the Holy Ghost is our great teacher? And we just know a little bit. How many know we're still learning and growing every day, every hour? Come on, amen? 11:7. And when they shall have finished their what? Their testimony. Anybody want to finish your testimony? Did Jesus finish his? Did Paul finish his? Hallelujah. Well, good. And when they shall have finished their testimony. Now, what is the testimony? The Spirit of Jesus is that testimony. Isn't that right? Amen. The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war. What did he say in 12:17 he's going to do? The dragon's going to do? Make war against them. And so here he said he makes war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Well, how many know that in the end of the story? How many know Jesus was killed? But nobody could kill him. I mean, he willingly laid his life down. Isn't that right? He volunteered. He laid his life down. No man could take his life, right? But he volunteered. He laid it down. But how many know these will also lay their life down and be killed? But look at the next verse. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. Now, if you want to explain verse 8, it would take a while. But their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. Now, what's the great city called? It is Babylon. Babylon is worldwide. Isn't that right? But I want to tell you something. The hub of Babylon could be America. I said could be. I don't know. You know, God knows. How many know there's Babylon in America? Isn't that right, Speed? New York City. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the what? Great city, which spiritually is called what? Sodom, which means scorched. I mean, God's going to scorch them Sodomites if they don't repent. Come on, he wants them to repent, doesn't he? And get delivered. And Egypt, picture the world, where also our Lord was. Where was Jesus crucified? Where was Jesus crucified? Outside of the city of Jerusalem. Outside the city, amen? The place of... Well, it's in Hebrews. What is it, 13? Hey, look in Hebrews 13, just a second. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13. What verse, Ronnie? Thank you. Praise God. Okay, it says here, wherefore, thank you, Brother George. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the gate, bearing his what? Reproach. All right, now these die in the place of uncleanness, Sodom. They die in Egypt, which is a picture of the lusty eye and lusty flesh and pride of the world, and they die. Jesus was crucified outside the city, that place of reproach. It's not one place. It's worldwide. Hallelujah. Now, and then in verse 9 of chapter 11, and they are the people and kindreds and tongues and nations, hallelujah, shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. You're talking about Christmas time, here it is. Shall make merry, shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets did something. They tormented them that dwelt on the earth. How many know they're going to be prophesying and preaching the word of the Lord? And after 3 days and a half, come on, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Hallelujah. Resurrection has started. God's overcomers will start the resurrection. Anybody want to be part of the first resurrection?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know if I'll get on that, but there's a lot there. I'll let Speed finish it up. Let's go back to Revelation 1. Praise God. Revelation chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. God's moving, isn't he, brother? Hallelujah. How many thank God for the whole counsel of God? We need deliverance. We need healing. We need the baptism. We need salvation. We need to grow up in Christ, don't we? Revelation chapter 1, and notice verse 4. How many know the Bible here talks about John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace be to you, peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. The seven manifold manifestations of the Spirit of God. The fullness of God. Hallelujah. The fullness of God. Seven spirits of God. Amen? Praise God. Then look in chapter 2. I'm skipping over a lot of things. Chapter 2, verse 1. He said to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write these things, saith he that hath the hold of the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, before I explain that verse, go back down here to verse 12. In verse 12. Look in verse 12 of chapter 1. John said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlestick, and right in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man. Notice where he's standing, right in the midst of the church. But in chapter 2, verse 1, he's not just standing. Did you notice in chapter 2 what it says, verse 1? He's walking. There's action. He's walking in the midst of this church. Are you hearing me? There's action here, Brother Speed. He's walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. How many is walking in this camp meeting? Huh? He's walked. People's getting saved, healed, filled. Come on, amen. Delivered. He's walking. He's walking among us. Hallelujah. He's not just standing there. He's walking. Something's happening. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. So something is happening in the midst of his church. There's action. Thank God. Then in chapter 3, verse 1 says, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. Now, first of all, the seven spirits in chapter 1 are before the throne. Now, to get identified with those seven spirits of the fullness of God, how many know we've got to spend some time before the throne? And we can come boldly to the throne, and we can come to the throne by his blood. Can you say amen? Now, right here in chapter 3, verse 1, he's holding the seven spirits of God, Jesus. How many know we've got to spend some time with Jesus? You want the fullness? Spend time with Jesus. Seek Jesus. Amen? Cry out to Jesus. He's got the fullness. Can you say amen? He is the fullness. Do you believe that? Look in chapter 4, verse 5 now. Look in chapter 4, verse 5. It says, also here, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning, again, before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Hallelujah. Notice that. The seven spirits of God. And they're burning before the throne of God. Then we look down to chapter 5, verse 6. Look in chapter 5, verse 6. And it says here, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having what? Come on. Seven horns. How many know that's all authority, all power? Authority, yeah. And seven eyes, which is all insight, illumination, insight, perception, discernment, the whole. He sees everything, doesn't he? Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, you say, when is these seven spirits going to be poured out? Well, right here, he's talking about the seals. And as the seals of God are being loosed upon the earth, every seal that's being loosed, the power of God is also being loosed. Hallelujah. So we're at the sixth seal. How many know more power is coming from God? Amen? Until the fullness of God will be here. Who can hear that? Praise God. Amen. I want to see it. So with I didn't get into all this, but the seven spirits, seven lamps, seven eyes, seven horns, seven candlesticks, seven churches, seven stars, seven angels. I mean, you got a lot of sevens going there. Now look in Revelation 1:5. We'll be out by midnight. A few more minutes. Revelation 1:5. There's no end to this book. Okay. Well, you know, 1 minute after midnight, you're on the downhill slide for morning. Isn't that right? We talk a lot about midnight, but hey, 1 minute past midnight, we're heading for morning. Somebody's going to make midnight. Somebody's going to go to morning. Amen? All right. 1:5. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the faithful martyr, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and the Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, in this chapter, he is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the faithful witness. He is the first begotten or the firstborn of the dead. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. He is the Alpha, come on, and the Omega. He is the first and the last. Amen. He is the beginning and the ending. He's the Almighty. He's the Son of Man. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. And notice the last three things it says there in verse 5. That he loved us, he washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he made us. He's making us a kingdom of priests. Amen. And then verse 7, notice, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Now, how that's going to happen, I can't tell you. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. You know, there was the incense cloud in the Old Testament. There's a cloud of witnesses that Paul talked about, and yet we are those clouds. Look over in Psalm 68. I want to show you a scripture here on these clouds. Hallelujah. Do you know you're the clouds tonight? Praise God. 68. Psalm 68 and verses 34. And here's what the psalmist said. Ascribe ye strength unto God. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel. How many know we're Israel tonight? Are you Israel tonight? Yes. And his strength is where? Where is God's strength? In the clouds, in you and me. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength. And where's this strength? It's in the clouds. And power unto who? His people. So he's putting that strength in his people or the clouds, and we are the clouds. Hallelujah. Let me see that. Praise God. So he's coming with clouds. He's coming with those witnesses. Amen. He's coming in us as well as coming with those out there. And how many know that every eye shall see him? Now, last time I was here, I preached the word on the coming of the Lord. I exhort you to get that tape. It's called The Three Appearings. But get that tape if the Lord leads you. I think you'll enjoy it. We must love his appearing, we must look for his appearing, and we must be like him when he appears. Hallelujah. And I'll close with this. I got so much I can't get into. But he's coming with clouds. He's coming in clouds. He's coming with the saints. He's coming in the saints. He's coming with fire. He's coming in fire. And this word in verse 7 where it says here, notice, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds. How many see that word, all kindreds? That's the same there as Matthew 24, verse 29 through 31, where he talks about the tribes of the earth mourning. The word tribes and the word kindreds of the earth are the same. Praise God. So Jesus is coming. And in closing here, notice it says something in verse 9. I want to show you five things here in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion, and what's the next word after companion? What's the next word after companion? In. In, number one, tribulation. Two, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Three, in the isle that's called Patmos. Here's why I was there, for the word of God and testimony. And four, I was in the Spirit on. That word on also means in. In the Lord's day. Five in. Hallelujah. And how many know when John was called up, he was still on the Isle of Patmos? Amen? Paul had that same experience, and the overcomers will also have that same experience. Amen? So, brethren, he wants us to grow up tonight. He wants us to mature and become true overcomers and sons of God. How many want to be that? Let's stand. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Praise God. Let's praise him tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Let's honor his name. Let's honor him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, God. Kilabra salabra korabra sikarabra solabra kita. Koriandalabra sikarabra soyandalabra kitarabra sikarabra haya. Kolibrikiandalabra sikarabra soyandabra kaya. Praise you, Master. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord, tonight. Praise God. Praise God. I want to share and minister in the Spirit to some of you tonight as the Lord directs. There will be a few here I want to minister to, so let's stand in the Spirit. How many will stand in the Spirit with me? Praise God. Praise God. My son, know that the Lord is with thee. Know that his hand is not short, neither slack concerning those things that I've spoken to thee in the past. But that which I've said in the past, my son, I shall truly perform it yet. Yea, there are many things yet to be fulfilled. So be not faithless, but know that God is with thee. And God shall stand with thee, and God shall direct thy path, and yea, the door shall open, and God shall give you great insight and perception for the days ahead. And yea, my revelation shall come in the night season, and truly the Lord shall open your eyes, and illumination shall come, and truly he's putting upon thee the belt and girdle of truth. Walk thou, my son, in this truth, and it shall set me free, and shall set many others free as well. For truly I am directing thee, my spirit and my glory shall be upon thee, and over thy household. Yea, thou need not fret for anything, and fear for anything, for I am thy God. Every need shall be met. And yea, God shall lead thee and thrust thee forth in this hour. And new energy and new strength shall come, for thou art my chosen, saith the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. All right, let's stand in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me go right through here. Praise you, God. Let's stand in the Spirit tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Greg, the Lord is with thee, my son. The Lord is quickening his word to your heart. The Lord does speak things in the night season to your spirit through dreams and even through vision. Yea, the Lord says, rest before the Lord. Yea, put down your activity and rest. And as you rest, you shall learn of the things of the Lord. For the Lord shall break off many yokes and many heavy things over thee. But God shall lead thee, my son. His hand is upon thee. I shall cut away, but I, God, shall pour into thee. I, the Lord, shall do a mighty work, and that work shall be the work of the Holy Spirit. And yea, my word shall take hold of your heart. And yea, the Lord says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing my word. And thou shalt be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, if you allow the Lord to do that work, saith God. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Let's praise our God tonight. Let's praise our God tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord is bringing many changes your way. The Lord God is with thee. The Lord has put his presence over thee. And God will send a whirlwind. And God shall dry up the streams. God shall dry up those things that have hindered you. And God said, it's a new day, it's a new time, it's a new release on life. And God says, fret not and fear not. Those things that are in the past, God says, leave them be. It's a new day for thee, saith the Lord God, and a new refreshing. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Diana, the Lord is with thee. The Lord has put his jewelry upon thee. The Lord has blessed thee with his gifts. The Lord does minister life and health and strength, yea, unto thee, saith God. And I do surround thee with my glory and my presence, even in this hour and in this day. And I shall give you favor with man and with me, saith God. So fear not man, but fear thou God. For yea, God shall bless thee as you go out, and God shall bless you as you come in, saith the Lord. For truly your feet, yea, shall move forward with your husband, and thou shalt go out, and thou shalt come in. For the Lord has spoken it, saith God. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is this on? Is this on? Praise the Lord. Let's praise him. Come on, let's praise him. Let's praise the Lord Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Sister, the Lord is with thee. Let me have your hands. There's healing in your hands, the Lord says. He's putting fire in these hands. These hands will touch others. Yea, at my bidding, at my direction, and others shall be healed because of your obedience. So lay your hands upon the sick and you'll see them recover, saith the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise our God tonight. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thou hast sought the Lord. Thou hast cried for a word from the Lord. And God says, I will not pass thee by any longer. I am with thee. And the Lord shall speak to thee in the night season. He shall speak intimate things, details to your heart. Yea, and He shall speak even as you pray. And as you seek the Lord, God shall speak things back to your heart. So pray much in the Spirit, the Lord says. Pray. Pray, intercede, and thou shalt see a great change not only in your life, but even around about thee thou shalt see a greater change, for I, the Lord, have spoken. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, let's praise Him. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We worship you tonight, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. My son, the Lord is with thee. The Lord does give you favor, yea, as you go out and as you come in. The Lord shall establish thy feet. The Lord shall establish and plant thy feet in a place. The Lord shall bless thee, saith God. Yea, there is a great work ahead, saith the Lord. Fear not, yea, fear not that which I've called you to do and chosen you to do, my son. For the Lord shall stand with thee. Yea, the Lord shall cut away. The Lord shall strengthen and the Lord shall heal. The Lord shall bind and the Lord God shall bring down every stronghold, every barrier that has stood in thy way, my son. Son, for I, the Lord, have spoken it. Yea, be faithful even unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him tonight. Let's praise our God tonight. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's rededicate our life to the Lord tonight. Every one of us, right where you're standing. Everybody pray, okay? Let's rededicate our hearts to the Lord. Father God. Father, now don't pray, but pray your own way, okay? You just pray your way. Father God, in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.